throne room of God, how would you worship him? What would you do? Oh, we praise the great name of Jesus Christ. We praise the awesome name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how many of you think God is worthy of just one more standing ovation? Just one more. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Do me a favor, turn to three or four people. Let them know you're happy to see them in this place today. Amen. If you'd remain standing with me a moment longer, I know some of you just sat down. But please remain standing with me just a moment longer. Thank you. First of all, I just want to say to our guests who are here today, you are in a place where we partner passion and praise together. If you've never seen this before, if you've never experienced this before, we can understand how it may feel a little bit strange to you. We just want you to know we decided a long time ago the Packers are not going to get our highest praise. We're not just going to clap our hands for sports stars. We're not just going to give standing ovations to politicians. We're going to give our highest praise and our highest adoration to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. That's what this is about. Amen. And we're just absolutely delighted that you're here worshiping with us. If you do me a favor, at the conclusion of the service, I would love to personally meet you. In the foyer behind you, you will see a sign that says Administrative Offices. There will be an usher to take you to our hospitality suite. I have a gift for you. We have some fresh cookies. We just want to say hello. We don't want to take a lot of your time, but that would make our day. So if you're a guest today, please remember that. We'd be so grateful. We are so very happy to have Reverend and Mrs. Dennis Anderson with us all the way from Hot Springs, Arkansas, people. Hot Springs, Arkansas. Yes. Brother Anderson is the bishop of the Arkansas District. He is the John Putnam of the Arkansas District. He is a great leader. I've had the privilege to interact with him on several occasions. I love his spirit, and that's the reason why I wanted to bring him and expose his ministry to you. I want you to hear him preach. I want you to feel what God is saying through him. And I have a personal love for this couple. I trust them, and I believe that we're going to be dear friends in the foreseeable future, in the distant future, on the horizon. And I'm so grateful for elders that I can look to who inspire me and who are a shelter to me in the storm. Would you help me welcome a great man of God, Brother Dennis Anderson.
Thank you, Brother Soto. Let's give Jesus one more real good hand of praise as we start into his word today. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, it's my honor to be here. I walked in a while ago and was greeted by someone that said, "It is good to hear a good southern voice that knows what y'all means." So if I forget to say you guys, you'll know I felt like being myself. All right, there you go. Think I got some southern help coming along here. Of course, I know my help cometh from the Lord, but I don't mind a little southern help either. And so I decided, rather than to think that y'all were the only ones talking funny, I would just go ahead and consider that it was me that was talking funny to you. But anyway, I think I'll try to get it out in a manner that you can understand what I'm saying. I do feel like I have a word from God for this congregation today. And I would like to put that together in a manner that the Lord would be pleased with. Brother and Sister Soto, thank you so much for your kindness and your friendship. There's some folks, whenever you meet them, you connect immediately. And this was the case when Brother Aaron Soto and I met. And we have been privileged to have him in Arkansas. Matter of fact, just this past year, he was there for a couple of services with us at our Arkansas camp meeting. And we always enjoy the good word that he has from the Lord. Obviously, he's lifting up the name of Jesus in a wonderful way because you came out today and you making this your church. And we are just so honored to be able to be here. We thank God for young men that are standing for this truth and preaching it without any contamination from the world. Just this doctrine, this message still works. And I just love to rub shoulders with people who have figured that out. So I'm glad to be associated with this wonderful couple. And I appreciate what God has in store for the future of this church as well as Pentecost in general because of the willingness of this couple to give themselves to the Lord. It is an honor to have my wife with me, and I appreciate her being with me riding up here. We came to general board meetings in St. Louis and then just took the little drive right on over. So, but we're honored to be here. Let me get into the word of the Lord here today. Would like to say it was an exceptional honor to get to meet Brother and Sister Soto Sr. These folks are just tremendous people, and we appreciate them. You know, when you learn people's children, you learn a little bit about them before you ever meet them. And so I knew they were great people before I ever met them. And today was a special day. It is a special day because so many things happening, but one of those special things was to be able to meet Brother and Sister Soto Sr. Hallelujah. Taking your attention today to the book of St. John chapter 2. And this will be a little lengthy in my reading here of the first 11 verses. But if I could just indulge here for just a moment reading into that, I think it could be worthwhile. It's obviously the marriage of the Cana of Galilee, and Jesus is there. But let's read verse number 1. The third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." I think there must have been something lost in translation there. You would not want to refer to your mama that way in case you're a young lady or young man in here. If your mama ever says something to you, don't say "woman," unless you're really wanting to meet your Lord real quick. If you've got a real desire to depart this world, go ahead. Say "woman." But somehow or another, she just refused to be offended and said unto his servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And there were 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, "Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bear it. And when the rulers of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, "Every man at the beginning set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Would you lift your hands with me right now and ask the Lord that we would be able to draw all that he has for us today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we are here right now believing that you have a special word for us. We believe you that you're going to minister to us in a special way. Let us be able to drink in the nectar from your word today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we believe you and we thank you for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give him one more round of applause. And the Lord bless you. You may be seated. There is so much rich territory down through this chapter here. But I'll try to behave myself and move along here with just some high points that I want to bring to you. But as we go through here, there are some principles that I believe that's going on at this wedding that can be plugged into our everyday life. I'd like to point out a few of those. Jesus and his disciples were there with Mary. Not just Jesus, but his disciples. And the importance of this is that when you get in the church and you begin to establish a walk with the Lord, I've noticed there were a lot of things going on at ATC. That's a good thing because we need the fellowship. We need the activity. We need the things that are going on in the church family to affect our life. We need to put that as a priority. And so we find out that there was some good fellowship that was happening here. And so, in other words, they had made friends. Jesus, his disciples, and this group here at Cana of Galilee, they were just appeared to be friends because they did not have an ulterior motive by inviting him to this wedding, because they didn't know that he had some type of reputation, and because he had not established a reputation on earth as a miracle worker. We'll get to that here in just a moment and talk to you about that, because it does say in verse number 11, let's just go ahead and go there. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So this beginning means that he does not have a reputation. He does not have a track record. So they did not invite him because that they knew that he was a miracle worker or that he had actually even become renowned, but there was relationship. I would like to, and I believe you're going to find that there's a theme of what the Lord is trying to speak to us today, and that's been my leading, that I'm going to try to preach to you that the most important thing you can develop in the kingdom of God is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not good enough just to come in here and have a rally environment, and whenever we come into a service on Sunday morning or Sunday night and we just clap our hands and have a great time and get the good feeling and then walk out of here tomorrow, not to continue that relationship. But I encourage every one of you to understand that there is a relationship that we need to establish with the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we move on into this, let me say that I would impress upon you today that they were there not knowing that they were going to need a miracle. Some people, and I'll go ahead and say this to you, I'm not really critical of whatever brings you to the Lord. Whatever crisis may have come in your life that brought you to the Lord is a good deal. It was so much better that you had a crisis and had to come to the Lord than it would have been for you to go on your merry way and never know that you needed the Lord. I think it'd be all right for right now for us to just go ahead and thank God for whatever it was that brought us. Whether it was trouble in the marriage, whether it was a health issue, whether it was a financial crisis, God's been good to us to speak into our hearts and say, hey, I want to talk to you and I want to help you. And that's what brought you to the kingdom. It's a little hard for us to thank God for troubles and trials and struggles that we have in life, but I promise you, God is there to work through these with you if you will let him. And so they can be. Matter of fact, I think it just really gives the devil a black eye if we will turn the trials that come our way. Instead of us doubting God, instead of us grumbling and complaining, let it go ahead and do what the devil hates. And that's draw us nearer to God and say, there's got to be something coming out of this right now that's going to develop my relationship with God. And I'm going to make this thing turn around and be working for me instead of against me. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to study more. I'm going to let it enhance my spirituality. I'm going to let my trials draw me to God, and the adversary is going to wish he'd never picked on you. Somebody shout yes. Hallelujah. So here's what I am proposing to you in this early onset. It is wise of you to invite the Lord into your life before you know you need him. We have a tendency sometimes to just, you know, we have this idea that, well, I mean, there's no sense in overdoing it. Why would I want to really live for God whenever things are really going pretty good? It's because that many times storms and troubles do not really give you a long lead time to say, hey, things are going to get bad. It's the middle of the night whenever the child is found with fever. It's the phone call that startles you to life that says, we've got a crisis in our world. It is the hurried up messenger that runs to you and say, we got a crisis on our hands. And then we have to spring to action. Such was the case whenever somebody ran up to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and said, they got a crisis in here. They are out of wine. We have no wine. We've got a problem. The governor of the feast is here. We've got all kinds of situations, celebrities, and we're in bad shape. I propose to you today that it was a whole lot better that they already had Jesus there. Am I making sense? They already had a relationship. He was already there. So today, it matters not what your situation is. I highly recommend that you extend an invitation for him to ride home with you, for him to go to work with you, for him to go to the next interview with you, for him to take the next test with you. Whatever's going on in your world, I highly recommend just go ahead and take him along. Don't ever look around and say, I got this. You need to look at him and say, I'm inviting you, Jesus. I want you present. I want you there in the midst of my life before I know I have a crisis. And so, whenever they turn to Jesus, it was so much more accessible to have him there than somebody have to go out and begin to search the countryside trying to find him. So they had already invited him there. Next thing I want to point out to you is that the Bible doesn't say that they needed wine. It says they wanted wine. Which brought to mind a scripture that says, delight thyself in the Lord. And it doesn't always have to be what you need, but he'll give you the desires of your heart, which is what you want, because the relationship is there. Somebody shout yes with me right now. Here's the beautiful thing. I'm just telling you some principles that went on in that wedding there. We're going to move on here in just a moment, but I'm just telling you about some wonderful things that were taking place and how that they responded to faith and how they reacted in faith. I will show you today from this scripture as we look at this, we will find out that there were about 6 water pots there that was about 120 gallons is what they would contain in water, and that was for the purification. So they were They were actually unclean water pots. They were dishonorable water pots. They were dishonored vessels. But God somehow decided that there was an opportunity for him to use even that that was considered unclean by everybody else. I am telling you today, it doesn't matter that you have come and sit down and you're sitting in this congregation, and it doesn't matter what your reputation is. It doesn't matter that the world has said that you're no good. There is a God in heaven that whenever he gets ready to move, he's going to put his finger on you and he's going to call you out and say, I can use that vessel. And you're here today at ATC because God has ordained that you be here, and he's going to rendezvous with an appointment to let you know that he's going to put his hand on you and use the most rejected vessels of the world. Really, I'm not standing around here, and I don't believe anybody in this church is going to be standing around here waiting for you to tell us why that you're not worthy to be here and why you're not worthy to be used of God, because God ordained that you would be in this building today and that you would hear this message, because it doesn't matter what your past is, God can rewrite your future because he is the author and the finisher of your faith, and he has the final say, and he can make a saint of God out of whosoever will. All he needs is your willingness to be used of God. Present yourself, make yourself available, and he will fill you. Woo, hallelujah. And so he said, fill the water pots with water. And if you read down through there, follow back through where we just read our text, the Bible says, and they filled them to the brim. You know, some of us are so measured in our response that, you know, we don't really want to waste 120 gallons. Why don't you just put a gallon in there and see if this will work? Wouldn't that have been smart? I mean, you know, just no sense in getting carried away. I mean, anybody here ever carried water? Is it anybody here old enough that you had to? It wasn't quite. I mean, I was born way back up in the hills of Arkansas. I explained to Brother and Sister Soto yesterday, I am really what they would call a certified, bona fide hillbilly. Worked hard to get my shoes on today. I might as well say it. You're sitting there thinking it. So anyway, my discernment is working. But I told him, I said, well, we got all kinds of Americans. I've decided how to heal this hillbilly stuff. We got all kinds of Americans. We've got African-American. We've got Latino-American. We've got Asian-American. And I said, I want to be called an Ozark-American. So, but way back up there, we were so far back in the country that there were a lot of things that didn't happen till later on in that country because it was so far back up there. But we didn't have necessarily running water in the house whenever I was a young man, but I figured out how to fix that too. They said, did y'all have running water? And I said, absolutely. They said, well, I didn't think you did back up in the hills where you were actually born in. I said, oh, yeah. We ran to get it. So, I'm telling you that there are situations in which that we think God can't do anything with us. But God knows exactly where you are. And he knows exactly what your past is. And in spite of him knowing everything, he still moved on your heart to be here today. And we're going to get to why here in just a few minutes. So, you know, it would have been hard to run and get all of that water, 120 gallons. So wouldn't it have made sense that they just pour a little bit, you know, in there and say, let's see if that's wine, whatever he's doing here. But no, that didn't happen. I like the way the scripture read. They filled it to the brim. So in other words, today, I'm asking you, now that we know that we need a relationship with Him, don't do a measured stepping into ATC today. Don't do a measured stepping into the relationship with the Lord. It's time for us to give Him everything, all the way to the brim. Because you will always be miserable if you just put a gallon. Matter of fact, I don't think they would have had wine if they just put a little bit in. Because He said, fill the water pots. And so in order to fill the water pots, they need to be completely committed to this. And so they filled them to the brim. I submit to you today that you don't just become a Sunday morning child of God. Now, we're glad you're here. But there's a whole lot more to it than just becoming a Sunday morning child of God. You come here because this is just a part of, it's a little segment of the overall picture of what your life is going to become, because you're getting into this thing all in. I had a guy, he wouldn't mind me telling you, he's a Jew that came to our church, and he got kind of liking what was going on. He got to seeing the worship and all those kinds of things, and he was really excited when he found out we believed in one God. He was really excited whenever we began to baptize in Jesus' name. So finally, this Jew ended up coming up for me to baptize him. And when we talked to him about baptism and all of that, we got all of that together. And Brother Soda, he told me about the Shema, how Deuteronomy 6 and 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And so we talked about that. And so what was really powerful that night was I took him up into the baptistry. And right before I baptized him, I stuck the microphone to his mouth and said, quote the Shema in Hebrew. And so he did. And then he turned around and quoted it, obviously, in English. And, of course, the place is going nuts. And then I put him down in Jesus' name and raised him up. And when I did, he threw his hands in the air and started screaming, speaking in tongues. That was how powerful. It was like lightning struck that water, man. The Holy Ghost power moving on him. And he kept on coming to church, and we kept on getting a little more teaching and a little more teaching. And finally, one day, he walked up to me, and he said, I get it. I said, what is it? And he said, I'm all in. You hear what I said? I'm all in. Say that with me.
I'm all in.
Yeah. Because you worship just a little different when you're all in. You participate in the offering a little bit different when you're all in. You dress just a little bit different when you're all in. Hallelujah. You show up at services you could have been somewhere else when you're all in. Because you are taking it to the brim. Because you're expecting this thing to be a real deal. God is about to move in a dimension like you've never seen before. You're not having to worry if He's... You're not having to worry if He's going to come through or not. You know He's going to come through because He has promised you. He is going to provide for you every step of the way. You can trust Him. You don't have to have a measured response to the kingdom. I am recommending to you today, let's do this thing all in, up to the brim. Watch the miracle. Woo! Come on, come on, come on. Let's put it together right now. They said, all right, we got that done. He said, bury it to the governor. Wouldn't it have been a little smart for them to be able to say, well, we need somebody to taste of this? But they didn't. They took it directly to the governor. You're talking about faith, and you're talking about taking a risk, because he could have just picked up a little cup and turned it up and it had been water. But instead, they took it directly to him. Let me explain to you. You can trust taking this stuff to your friends, to your neighbors, because he will do for them what he has done for you. And you can trust that when you tell them that he will heal them, he will heal them. When you trust that you tell them that he is a miracle worker, he is a miracle worker, and he will do it for them. Trust him. Go ahead, bear it to them, and watch them respond, because God is with us. Now, I want to back up here and help you as we look at verse 10. Hold that verse, if you don't mind, please, from putting it up right now. I'm sorry, I should have told you that a moment ago. Just hold it for a moment, and I know I'm working with a real smart group of people here. Obviously, you're smart, you're here. I was preaching one time and said something about an IQ test, and the guy on the front row, he said, "I want to give my wife one of those." And I said, I was right by him, and I put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, "No, don't say that." And he went, obviously, he wasn't getting it. And I said, "She married you." If she flunks the IQ test, where does that put you, Bubba? And he went, "Oh." Got him right there. But I know I'm working with some real smart people here, so just hang on here a minute. When they gave this to the governor, he said unto him, this is what he said unto them that gave them. And I'm reading it to you, but I don't want it on the screen right now. And said unto him, "Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until the last." We have read it that way for years. But throw it up on the screen now, and let's get me corrected. It doesn't say he's keeping the good wine till last. He's keeping the good wine until, everybody say, now. You know why? Because now is the most important word you're ever going to have in your life. You can anticipate things getting better and a better opportunity and all of the problems being worked out. And you can keep moving your commitment down the road. But I'm telling you, there's no better time and there's no better wine than right now. That's the reason that Hebrews 11:1 starts out like this. Now, I'm probably not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but they've been sharpening me for a while, trying to get me a little sharper. So I do know this much about that scripture, that if the word now had not been important, you could have just read that scripture that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But Brother Soto, it's more than just faith. It's now. It's got to happen now. If it ever happens in your life, there will be a now moment that takes place. I have been around people that have sought the Holy Ghost for a while. But they came that service saying, "This is the day. I'm not going away without it. I've got to have it." And that broke them out of a cycle that some of them had been in for years. Keep going through the same routine, but they decided that today is the day that I'm going to get all in. Today is the day. And so God has saved the best until, whoo, hallelujah. Because when you get to looking at Jesus now you got to understand a little something about Jesus. He is already in eternity. He is not bound by time. But watch the way that Revelations 1 and 8 reads. Hallelujah. I'm about to get excited. I hope you're getting all geared up here. Revelations 1 and 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. Everybody say, which is? Which was? Which is to come? The Almighty. Ladies and gentlemen, if I had been saying that, because I am in time, I would have chronologically put the line, the timeline as which was, which is to come. Would you like a little more commentary on that? This is not in my notes, but I'm about to chase a rabbit. When you're reading the book of Genesis, he says that the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. The third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, and the sixth day. Why is he saying that? If I had been telling you about a trip I had taken and something that had gone on, I would start in the morning and I would describe the day from the morning to the evening. The reason is because I'm going through time. But he is already in eternity, describing yesterday in time. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. Because he is here looking back on there. The only place, incidentally, you won't find those parameters of evening and morning is when you get to the seventh day. Because that's rest. And there are no boundaries of his rest. It's only when there are projects of things being done. But ladies and gentlemen, he is not in time, so therefore he stands and he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, which is. Why? Because he is not the past, he is not the future, but he is the I am. He didn't start telling Moses, tell him what I used to do or what I'm going to do. But what we need to do is to have you to understand that the only time that's important right now is how you handle this encounter with God. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house right now. And I'm gonna try to bring this around to a close here in a little bit, but I want somebody to understand. We're not looking towards Sunday night service. We're not looking toward next week. And we're not regretting the last revival. What we're doing right now is pushing everything out of our mind. We're not even worrying about lunch right now. We're worried about a moment right now in time that the Lord Jesus Christ is walking the hallways and the aisles of ATC, and he is in this house. And the now moment that we're in, the power of now is what is walking up and down these hallways. You're going to understand that if you're ever going to live for God, if you're ever going to find what you want in God, you're going to have to come to grips with the now moment of the I am. St. John 11, 21. Jesus was visiting with Mary and Martha, and he is talking to them about Lazarus being dead. And this is what they said to him. Martha said to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. So she is living in the past. Then Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So she jumps all the way to the future. It is always easier to talk about the past and the future than it is to face the moment. But Jesus discounted what she had to say about the past and wouldn't let her go to the future when he said, Martha, we need to talk about something else. In verse 25, he says unto her, I am the resurrection and the life.
He that believeth on me, or in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus is standing there connecting himself with the burning bush of Moses to say, ma'am, don't be worried about what didn't happen in your past, and don't be worried about what's going to happen in the future, because if I can get you to right now, we're going to have a resurrection around this place today. Whew, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me just say, do you remember that when they came to arrest Jesus? And they said, they approached him there in the garden, and when they did, Jesus asked them, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said what KJV says. It would be red letter edition if you happen to have that. I am he. But if you'll adjust your bifocals a little bit, you will notice that he is a little squiggly, italicized word. So you could actually remove the little pronoun from there. And you remember what happened to them? The Bible says they fell back to the ground. Because his response would have been like this. Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And what made that response so powerful was he said, I am. He was God in the flesh standing in front of them. And the corresponding reference of I am took him back to being the powerful I am. He has gone throughout his word trying to impress upon us that we're not to live in the past and we're not to live into the future. The power is of right now. Pastor, it won't be when we get more musicians. It won't be when we get a different location. It won't be when we get more church buses. It won't be whenever we do all of the things that we're dreaming of. That's okay for the future. But I am announcing right now, on March the 5th, 2017, there is a move of God and there is a visitation of the Holy Ghost inside these four walls, upon these pews, right here, right now. Jesus himself just walked in this house. And if you need healing, he'll do it right now. If you need a miracle, he'll do it right now. If you need the Holy Ghost, he'll give it right now. Because the power of now, the I am, is in this house. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Come on, keep praising him, musicians. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Keep that going. Something's moving in this house. Something's moving in this place. Woo, woo, woo. Yes. I wrap it up with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time, everybody say accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. And behold, now is the day of salvation. Everybody say now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. But the now part doesn't even allow us to put it off till tonight. Because now gives you the perfect moment. I got to respond because I feel it now. Come on, I'm asking you. Whew, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I'm here to call the devil out. Because what's happened, I'm going to tell you right now, he has been talking to somebody, trying to tell them to wait for a more convenient season. Wait until the environment gets perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't work well in a perfect environment. Just ask Adam and Eve. It was as perfect as it's ever going to get. Sir, I'm talking to you right now. You can't wait until your wife gets the same picture that you've got of your desire to live for God. Ma'am, I just kind of feel like encouraging you right now. March the 5th, 2017. I made up my mind to be all in. Why don't you change the only person that you can change? And when you do that, he promised you that if you'll seek first his kingdom. I was a young pastor many years ago. I had this guy call me and he said, Pastor, I'm an alcoholic, but when I get this alcoholism fixed, I'm coming to church. And I said, Sir, I don't mean to be rude, but I guess you're never coming. He said, What do you mean? I said, Because he never told you to fix it and then come. I've got a God that would love to help you fix it. When I finally get a handle on this pornography addiction, I'll come and pray through then. No. You just go ahead and come and pray through because now is the only thing you're dealing with right now. I've known quite a few that, Brother Soto, they don't want you to come and see them because their house is a mess. And your invitation is not there because I don't want you to see the mess my house is in. And so many people are treating Jesus the same way. We got a mess in our house and I can't let you come. What would it do for you right now if I told you that he just reported to me that he'd like to come and help you clean it up? All you got to do is say, okay, now. Why don't we just lift our hands right now? I believe there's somebody right now. That would like to respond to what you feel in the Holy Ghost. You're tired of putting it off. Would you just respond? You don't have to be a sinner. We're not going to judge you where you're the hypocrite or whatever the situation is, but something you're dealing with that you're going to claim this to be a now moment in your life. Would you just slip out from where you are and let's gather around the front right here. Press in. I know we probably all can't get here, but make some kind of move that you believe that right now is the moment for him to come. I stand at the door and I'm knocking. Quit shouting your excuses back through the door. Just open it now and I'll help you. help you.
There's a powerful touch of the Holy Ghost in here right now. This is somebody's miracle day because you have stopped putting it off. Because of the power of now.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
I'm quit shouting excuses at you, Lord. I believe there's something for me in here now.
Oh, touch my heart, Lord, speak to me. If you could use anything, Lord,
I'm just going to feel somebody with the Holy Ghost right now. He's going to minister to somebody. You fix your marriage now. Quit worrying about somebody else. You just give him an all-in step. Let him do it for you now.
Take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You can use anything.